CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done. McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com. Or call 352-804-0078.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
Your dad.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
Well, that's how
a true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. Yeah. So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light beer at Isoco, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, I'm Paulie Marlin, driver of the number 42 Sprint Car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Andrews.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill, located at 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Greatness, Florida. That's in Tampa Bay, though.
Yeah, it's just south of Tampa Bay. It's south.
It's so barely south.
Eighth largest media market in the United States.
Yeah.
Why did you go eighth largest media market? Did he not do
that? He likes to do that every once in a while.
It's like a southern thing. We're the eighth largest.
I am.
We are the eighth largest
I just
market.
Pretend.
We even have a winery now.
A winery?
We used to have a good football team.
Yeah, we used to have a good football team.
Yeah, we still do. They just stay over
there. They're up in Jacksonville now.
That's right.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Wow. They certainly aren't in Miami, no doubt.
Oh, please, please.
Stop. Joey Harrington.
So what we got happening on the 21st of October?
William,
it's
the week before Halloween.
I'm going to be up all night. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. You know, on the 24th here now, you got to remember.
T-B-A-R-A.
T-B-A-R-A are in the house.
Literally in the house.
Remember when we used to talk to Barra and we'd get all get help from everybody.
The fastest race cars in Florida.
I wonder what happened to the Blues Brothers tonight. Wasn't one of the Blues Brothers supposed to show up tonight?
Well, I got something to say about that. You know, and without getting into a big deal about it.
Yeah.
You know, I have some advice.
Advice?
I have some advice for people who want to get into the racing and motorsports media.
Yeah. Media.
Business.
Big capital letter, metal letters, media.
You have to work hard.
Work hard.
And you have to go out and get news. And you have to get stories.
Not just cut and paste?
No, you can't just cut and paste other people's work and say you're doing something. You got to go out and work and get stories and interview people.
Right.
And dig and break news and create stories that fans want to hear.
Get invited to the room.
And I'm going
to
tell you this. This is what I got to say about it. When you spend time wasting your time with infantile postings on message boards, that's time you're taking away from going out and getting real news.
The real story.
Enough said. About how many times I post.
12 hours of Ocala. October 21st.
Who would actually look forward to being up from midnight to noon.
Well, we obviously did because we're going to broadcast it for the whole dang
thing. You could be up longer than midnight to noon.
That's what I know, I know. I'm just trying to keep it at some minimum number here.
I still haven't found a ride, so I'm not listening to you.
Yeah, and then Saturday night. So we're gonna broadcast this thing all night, and those crazy drivers are going to go out and run around Ocala Speedway for 12 hours straight, see who can win $5,000.
How many cars are going to start this thing?
As many as come, and they're expecting 50 to 100. We have no idea.
They're
going to
start every one of them.
That's what I'm told.
No qualifying races.
They all have transfer ride. They're not going to. It's not going to be. It's not going to be like an enduro either. They're going to clean up the track. There's not going to be cars sitting out there. It's not like that. It's going to be a clean track.
So they're going to throw cautions and stuff.
Apparently,
you have to throw the red and stop everybody right where they're at, and then clean up and then go green.
Well, maybe not. Maybe
if you're going to run transponders and stuff.
Hopefully, if people know that they're going to be running for 12 hours, they're not going to go out and wreck.
Yeah, but a transponder is going to tell you. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
They
won't
run over each other. But a transponder is going to tell you how many times they go by this line on the track, not where they went off the track and came back on at, not how many people they passed while a caution was out before that happened.
Always the cynic. He's always
I'm
the
just
cynic.
Telling you.
Always.
There's a lot of people.
Well, let me tell you, if you want
to win a couple of bucks.
Let me be cynical. On Saturday night now, after we've been up all night, you know what's happening on Saturday? In Florida, this is amazing. In Florida, at Lakeland USA International Speedway, you have the Florida Mini Stock Challenge Series and the Southern Sportsman Series
and
the Fast Car Pro Trucks. At Citrus County Speedway, you have two 50-lap super late model races at right up the road. Not that far, is Bronson Motor Speedway, the second night of the Sunbelt Triple Crown,
right.
Fast Car Triple Crown, whatever it is, the Florida Triple Crown for super late models.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if the fast trucks are running over at Ocala or not.
They're scheduled.
They're scheduled, but it's not on the schedule now, but we're still running the... I can't get... Mr. Bobby Deal, the promoter.
Bobby Deal, call us.
He won't call me, so
Bobby Deal mad at me about playing the little joke.
He's mad at you?
Yeah, about playing the joke on him.
Played the joke about
the
loan. That wasn't no joke.
9-4-1-7-8-3-4-9-0.
I played with it. And I know
you're the man's out trying to get loans for race car drivers, and you picked one.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was kind of a crazy idea.
At the end, he agreed with him.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I tried to cushion
it.
He put some
butter on
people
that.
People can do what they want with their money, I realize. It just seems strange that you would start trying to loan people money to go racing. That's just me.
No doubt.
And it's just, I got to push
it. Here we go now.
Yeah.
See?
Steven hasn't called again.
This is why I'm not in charge of that. Didn't do that one. Not on me.
Yeah. This is what we did before.
All right, well, maybe Michael will call.
Well,
I don't know. I think we should
go ahead and do that. We should be talking to Beamers. Let's get somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to talk to the air.
Oh, well, pick up the phone, make a phone call.
Pick up the phone, make a phone call.
He's done that 1,000 times.
So, Bill, you've called a lot of races in your life, as I have.
Not lately.
But I mean, you have, though. But a 12-hour race.
I know.
I mean... 35-40 minutes of talking is one thing, but 12 hours, brother.
Here comes the 33, leading lap number 327.
What was that, 328?
Oh, God. It's going to be a nightmare. And yeah. I don't know if they're going to use a transponder system, but Lord help me if they don't have a video and a flop clock.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to be in trouble. So that's pretty cool.
So, all right. Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Let's save the day. All right, lead to the Jack. To go out, get on the phone.
Jack, make the introduction.
They always answer the phone when Jack calls.
Right.
That's not fair.
Well, you know, the infamous Jack Smith has worked so hard to be internet media racing, whatever.
Yeah, well, on the line we have with us Michael Falk, who used to be from Ocala, Florida, and now he's up there in the mountains of North Carolina.
How cold is it?
Well, I know it's only about 40, but get back to your earlier question. Jack pays the most, so why he gets all people in the air.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Say that again?
Jack pays the most.
Michael, this is Rick Andrews, man. I worked with him for 6 years. I didn't get paid nothing.
Nah, I'd love to look out for my boy every once in a while. You know?
I hear you, dog.
Hey, we appreciate you calling Real Racing USA, man, and talking to us with the
awesome performance at Talladega.
There you go.
Was that fun or what?
Oh, man, what a great night. That was... Like Scott said earlier in the show, that's just an amazing place to be, whether you're a spectator or a driver. And luckily, I was fortunate enough to get an opportunity to race at Talladega this past weekend, and made the most of a bad situation there. We you know, it was shortened by the darkness, and I'd like to have the extra 11 laps to see what we could do, see if we could put that number 14 Dodge Charger in the top five, but it just didn't happen for us. And I made one mistake. I thought my crew for races over. I stayed in line, stayed on the bottom like everybody wanted me to, and I got one good run on the outside with about 10 to go, and I thought I could get out there, and as soon as I did, everybody saw that yellow stripe on my bumper and hung me out. So I went back to about 18th or 20th with 10 to go, and we got back to 8th. So all in all, great night for the Cowboy International Cross Homes Racing Team.
Is that all it is, though, is if you stay on the bottom line, stay in the fastest moving line on the bottom or closest to the bottom as it is, you always wind up at least decently up in the top 8 or 10 or something instead of winding up back there in 22?
Yeah, it depends a lot on your car and who works well with you aerodynamically. We had a lot of cars that we worked well with. Richard Childress' car, we drafted extremely well with. Mario Gosselin, we worked well with in practice. Unfortunately, you know, he was basically like my teammate, and he was out on lap one, so I didn't have a whole lot of drafting help for the most part of the race. You just got to try to stay on the bottom and use patience. Patience always pays off there. As long as you stay on the bottom, don't get out of line, you know. Usually there's quite a few people in front of you that do make the mistake of getting out of line. You usually can shuffle those guys to the back pretty easily.
Now, Michael, could you actually, like Dale Earnhardt used to say, feel the air? You could feel the car move faster or slower as people got around you?
Yeah, you could feel it. You could hear the motor tone change a little bit. You can feel it left to right in and forwards and backwards. But the new pavement at Talladega, I'm sure it's a lot different than what it was when Senior was racing it. And a lot of grip, a lot of speed. Everything was really stable. You know, they didn't move around a whole lot. You know, we didn't get more than 3 wide, I think, a couple times, I think. Sean Rudiman was my sponsor, David's cousin. he said 4 wide a couple times there. But most of the time it was 3 and 2 wide. It wasn't too bad, but, you know, that place is being able to run 5 or 6 wide around and out of the page, and it's as smooth as it is.
Sean was your spotter?
Yeah, we
awesome.
Sean, yeah, Sean spot for us there at Talladega. He was there anyway, and he did an excellent job, man. He did a great job keeping me out of the wrecks. We missed a couple big ones there that really was amazing to make it through.
What's it like with this, like when you're bumping somebody going 180 miles an hour?
It's funny because the first time I ever had a drafting practice was the morning of the race, and we went out there, me and Mario and a couple other guys went out there. There was, I think, a pack of 5 or 6. Montoya, Steve Ross, I think, was in there. And we just drafted a little bit and never did get the fuel bump yet. Nobody wants to bump draft in practice. So it was actually about 15 laps into the race before anybody actually put a bumper. I mean, and you believe you know it when they do it, but you get used to it really quick because if you don't do it, you're going to the back anyway.
Do you just feel yourself get pushed back in the seat as it bumps forward, or does it just a little light tap it feels like? Or?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of you ever stop at a stoplight with your buddies when you're young and run into them, so the back of your pickup truck just bump them a little bit. That's what it kind of feels like.
Maybe I'll try
180 miles an hour. Let's
maybe I'll try this out on I-75 going back to Northport tonight.
I already see you and Jack going down I-75 running about 80 miles an hour.
I couldn't catch Jack. Jack is doing 90 miles an hour if he's doing one. Trust me.
Scott in the mix, and you'll be all right.
Hey, listen, and I take it that just like we saw with the situation on Sunday afternoon in the Nextel Cup race, that if you're bump drafted and the guy decides he's going to make a move left or right, you could mess up everything.
Yeah, it's just like I said earlier, you guys have to have patience, and it's more of a deal where you got to have instincts and tell if you're going to do right. You have to drive everybody else's car before you can drive your own. And fortunately, you know, I think that's one of my best attributes is being patient in the race car and having a sense of what's going to happen before it actually happens. And having Sean, similar to Sean on the radio, you know, he's been to a lot of these races with David, and he was able to tell me some things that were going to happen before they happened and kept us out of some sticky situations. You just don't want to put yourself in a situation. You can tell. It's just something in the air. You can tell when something's going to happen and when people are getting antsy to make moves, and you just know when to back out and when to press forward.
Wow. It's awesome, man. I know it's got to be a cool feeling because I think one of the guys that put in perspective was Dave Pletcher years ago and said that was one of the places when he finally got to go and crank it up at Talladega and roll out on the track and get his first practices in, that it was just awe-inspiring to know that, you know, you were running where some of the legends in racing that kids all over the world had watched you grow up. So that's pretty cool.
And you're telling me I had phone calls all night on the way home. Now that's why my voice is a little bit worse. I left there, went to Florida, back to the homecoming game, Florida LSU game, lost my voice the next day. So, but yeah, I was out there leading the race. We had five or six laps, I believe, and I remember the caution just thinking, I think Mike lost the second. I'm like, man, this was pretty cool. You know, you get pushed around a place like Talladega where I watch my heroes like Dale Watcher and Dale Earnhardt go end over end, you know. A million times, and I got Mike Wallace pushing me around here in the draft. So I remember that moment, and I'll probably remember that moment for the rest of my life. It was pretty cool.
There's an awful lot of guys running in that race, I noticed, that are so, so good at racing, and just they still struggle sometimes, it seems. Even like a Mike Wallace that's in, the NASCAR races quite often. It seems like a lot of competition, and it's very hard, I bet, to win those races in general anyway.
Oh, it is, and ARCA is becoming more and more so that way because of the talent influx into the sport and the way that it's taking the big dollars to run these teams now. I mean, it's funny, we get to the track and we're parked next to Juan Pablo Montoya and Ganassi's team, and they got 35 guys over there working on the car, five engineers and all that. I was there, I got me and my dad, my crew chief, my spotter, all four working on the car as far as we can go to make it out of practice. So there's a variance there in the money, you know, and that contributes a lot to performance. It's hard to sit there and say that Mike Wallace is, you know, any better or not any better than Jeff Gordon, but, you know, just if you have the right chance or the right opportunity, you never know what could happen. Everybody's so close as far as talent goes when you make it to the ARCA level and above that it almost just comes down to everybody else on the team. You know, the driver's such a small percentage of it these days that it takes so much money to run these teams that, you know, like you guys were talking about earlier, I can't encourage the young guys enough in Florida to get out there and get their websites going and go to school for PR like I did and just learn the ins and outs of the business. And it don't matter if you win 100 races. If you don't have the marketing aspect of it, you're not going anywhere in the sport.
Cha-ching.
they're really getting the kick out of this. Michael, I have two questions. I'll throw them both at you. One, the first one is, about the cars, how close they are to, say, Nextel Cup cars, and also, did you get a chance to spend any time or talk to Montoya?
No, he was covered up by cameras and women all week, so I really didn't get a whole lot of time talking to him.
Well, that's what?
our cars are from Everything Motorsports, and they're basically Cup cars. The wheelbase is the same. Everything's the same. We bought three cars from Ray. They were the cars that Erin Crocker drove when she ran in the ARCA series in Daytona in the previous race. So they're just the same. You know,
motor-wise, they're pretty much the same?
No, motor-wise, ARCA has a little bit more open rules on the motors. There's some small variances, close to Cup cars, though. The speeds are really close. The chassis itself is identical to a Cup chassis, and they just pull them right out of there. Any of these guys, like Steve Wallace and guys like that, they just pull them right out of the Cup garage, you know, and put the ARCA twist to them.
Hey, listen, I got to ask you about the Montoya question. Well, on the track, was he as good as it looked like he apparently is?
He's a great driver. Anybody that wins the Indy 500 and outruns Michael Schumacher, you know, he'd have to be great to do those things. But, I think it was a learning experience for him, too. He'd never been in a draft. He'd never been in a bum draft like that. And he worked it excellently. I mean, he did a great job. I think he got a little bit of a fender bender in there, middle of the race with somebody. I couldn't tell if it's his fault or not. But, you know, to come out of there running as good as he did, you got to look at his equipment, but at the same time, he's got to be able to drive to do that. So when you go to the race, not to see it on TV, but when you're at the race in the pits, you can definitely tell the difference in equipment. I consider us to have great equipment, but when you see a team, a Cup team like Mike Wallace or Ganassi's come in there, you can definitely tell the difference of the ARCA guys and the Cup guys. And like I said, me and Mario, yeah, we're two ARCA guys, and we had a good shot at working together all race long and going to the front. But unfortunately, we had engine problems less than a get-go.
You know, they gave your dad all the credit on the TV.
during
the TV cast, they gave your dad all the credit for your success.
Did they show him on the camera? Because he had his head stuck between his legs on top of the pit box. He asked, like, about 5-1 when the race was going to be over.
Oh, my God. I tell you what, though. You know what? And that's what's so cool about you is you're always out there. You're still having fun, no matter what.
I love it. I'm having just as much fun now as I was having racing Pierce back to Bronson back when I was 13 years old. It's just another level, you know, another rung on the ladder to climb to get to the point where I want to be in my career. And I'm on track to get there. I just now you're at the part where you got to have the right brakes and pieces got to fall into place for things to happen for you. So
how old are you now?
25, 25th of this month.
Well, see, and somebody like a David Rubin getting picked up, that's good. You know, it lets you know that you can still do it in that time frame.
It's definitely doable. And, you know, there are a lot of young kids coming into the sport, but it kind of overshadows the 20 to 30-year-old range that come into the sport, you know. While my daughter's not a young kid, there's guys coming into the sport that are not 18 years old, so it's still doable. And, you know, like David did, I got to congratulate him on his deal. He had a party down there tonight. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it to, but I'd like to make it down there and said, you know, Michael, everybody's going to be down there, so.
Bill spent all day there.
Yeah, and
we kicked him in the butt. He went up there and spent the whole day.
Yeah, the
he was invited.
Yeah, well, Sean did mention you. He said he spent the whole day, you know, helping you out and stuff. So.
Yeah,
okay.
I was at the party. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I hope somebody got a lot of video or something, because it was just really neat.
Yeah, Bill got a lot of audio, and he got some interviews and things there, and we got a lot of photographs. Carlene sent us a bunch of photographs. And
there's going to be a big thing on speed before the cup race on Sunday, or actually Saturday. I think they're going to run it the first time, so you could probably see most of it then.
Cool. I'll tell you what, there's nobody in this world that I'd love to see that happen to more than Dave Rudiman and the Rudiman family. They're a great bunch of people. And there's not another family in the sport any better than those guys.
I'll tell you what. And then there's also a big company doing a biography kind of thing on Michael Waltrip and Michael Waltrip Racing and what they're doing. And so they were there, and that's going to be a 13-episode situation they're going to do this in.
Cool.
Hey, Michael. Rick Angie's here, man. How did this ARCA ride come about for you?
Well, we went to Nashville, you know, earlier in the season. I believe the second race of the year. We went there with Michael Burton in MB3. We had a truck. We ended up trading the trucks for the ARCA cars with Evan Ham, so he could have some trucks to start airing him. And anyway, one thing led to another. We wanted to go do an ARCA deal. Like I said, we did it with Michael Burton. After that, we decided that it would be in his best interest to sell the team to another owner. So now someone out of California owns the team by the name of Roger Coffin. He owns the team now. Just kept the same guys. So they kept me and Dad on, re-signed my contract for another 2 years, and they're just going to press on doing the ARCA deal until something else comes up. And hopefully we can throw in a couple truck races or bush races over the next year.
So is Pops doing all the shop work?
No, he's just paying all the bills. We have people in the shop. Corey Stott, my crew chief, son of Ramo Stott, NASCAR driver back in the day. And he's crew chiefing. I got a couple guys in the shop working, mechanics, and we're building from the ground up. You know, it's a small time operation. We're not on the budget as other guys are. Like, we're on the line tomorrow, so we got to keep it as small as we can, you know, yet still be efficient with who we have in the shop. And I think, you know, our crew chief situation worked out great. Me and Corey get along great. You know, we're headed in the right direction. We just need some more financial backing to get us to that next level. You know, we're basically at that plateau now, looking for the next level up the ladder.
Where are you guys based at now?
We're based out of Mooresville now. We're over in Lakeside Park next to Rusty Wallace Incorporated, right next to Steven's shop.
Oh, well, that kind of gets you saw a little bit. People driving by.
Oh, I mean, we're definitely in the eye. I mean, I don't know. Did you guys watch the race?
Yes.
I thought it was on there quite a bit, man.
Oh,
you know, they did mention me, so. Well, Ray's been watching, and we talked to Ron Horn today briefly after the race, and he was going to put in the word with Ray for me. So hopefully some news will work for Evernham that I'm going to get to do some testing for those guys here in the near future, and hopefully get into the bush car a little bit.
Hey, you got to get somebody to send us some information about what it would cost Short Track America and Real Racing USA to get on the hood for a race, or maybe the trunk lid, something, I don't know.
I'm coming to Daytona that's the next race on the schedule for us, so we'll be down there in February for Speed Week, so maybe we can work something out for that.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
You guys over there to the press suites and hang out and have a good time.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, man. Who's helping you with the car? Who's sponsors on the car?
Right now, the sponsors on the car are Cops, Holmes, and Home Depot. We, the owner, Roger Poston, also acquired Cops, Holmes, Complete Owner Builder Services. It's basically you find a piece of property you like, and you call them. They take care of everything, and you just show up when it's done. And they have free estimates online for you in 5 minutes, how much your house will cost from start to finish. It's a great company. They own the car. They use Home Depot products. Therefore, subsidiary of Home Depot, so they use, you know, they put Home Depot logo on the car, which brings a little bit of publicity to us and the team. It's good for us, good for them, and it's orange and blue, so, you know, I'm a Gator.
Hey, listen, I got one more question that has to do with your sponsors, Cobb's Homes and Home Depot. What kind of things do you have to do for them? Do you have to go anywhere and show up and be in, present the car and yourself and so forth at those kind of events, or are they a different level at this point?
No, we do have some events planned. We just, we're kind of a new company. They're new to the sport, Cobb's Homes is, so they don't really know where it needs to go on. So they're right now putting together a comprehensive marketing plan for the company and using the race team as a vehicle to push that company and advertise that company nationally and on live television, like Speed Channel. So when they get all that straightened out, I'm sure next season we're going to be doing a lot of autograph sessions out on the West Coast, a lot of things like that. Don't have anything planned for certain right now, but they are. I know they have a team of people working on it in California, so I'm sure as soon as they figure out what they want me to do, they'll let me know.
All right. You got a website, Michael?
Yeah, we are in the middle of updating that. So Scott got a lot of good pictures this weekend, so we're going to update that probably this week, and that'll be refreshed.
And the website address?
The website address is www.michaelfalk.com and www.mb3motorsports.com.
All right, brother. It's been great talking to you, man.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thank you for spending time with us.
Anytime.
Awesome, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, see
you. CarNag.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNag.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNag.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNag gets it done.
You're listening to the Short Track of American Radio.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
This family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. Disease is, it's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th, and it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, you know, adult guy. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
HomeZone. HomeZone sales and services, pinball machines, jukeboxes, and other game room items. Air hockey, pinball machines, slot machines, jukeboxes, video games, new and used reconditioned arcade games located in the heart of racing country in Greensboro, North Carolina. HomeZone ships nationwide. Check them out. Go to CarNacMedia.com and check out HomeZone. We can turn your family game room into the talk of the neighborhood. HomeZone.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA. We are live on the air with the man himself, Frank Kimmel. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, guys. How you all?
Oh, we're awesome, buddy. What a run. Was that exciting, and how much fun was that?
That was a great weekend for sure. It was really cool to get the four fusion in Victory Lane finally at the Super Speedway. We didn't think that we were able to get there, but it was a great race for us to follow and really, really good.
And Frank, this is you've won 68 ARCA races, I understand, and this was your first Super Speedway win?
That's correct, yeah. We've never won one at Daytona or Talladega, and I've been trying a long time, just never quite got there.
Well, what was always the big problem, do you think? Apparently you've run them enough that you probably had a good idea how to use the draft and all that kind of stuff, but was it just always the timing of something or some mechanical thing?
I think Bobby Gerhardt's gotten very good at Super Speedway racing, and he's kind of our ARCA guy in the Super Speedways, and he's been very fast, and then we got beat by Ryan Newman and Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch and just different guys like that have come in and been very, very fast. And Craig Kinsler last year driving for MB2. It just seems like that when we've had a good car, we've had some other guys that have had just a little bit better and just haven't put ourselves in the right position. And luckily, we were able to do that this weekend.
Frank, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you now?
I'm 34.
Okay. And that brings me to kind of a whole topic that we've been going on lately. And it has to do with folks in your age bracket and getting into NASCAR. Of course, when you were in your 38, 37 range, that's when I would have thought I would have seen somebody come along and pick up a Frank Kimmel, because you've done such great things when it comes to NASCAR racing. You've raced a few races and stuff. Give me some idea of what you feel like has been the thing that kept you from getting that big deal and a year-round sponsorship, so to speak. Because, I mean, I just think you should be there.
I appreciate that. I don't know. I think timing is very, very important. And when I started winning championships and stuff, I was in my late 30s. And about that time, that's when this new deal of going out and getting the teenagers and bringing these guys in and training them, and they're obviously very talented, and putting them in good cars, and it was kind of unfashionable to get somebody that's already in his 30s that had some success. And I live in southern Indiana and have a family here, and really enjoy being around my wife and children, and never did quite throw caution to the wind and go to the cemetery and start knocking on every door. And so I'm sure some of it was my fault that I didn't get that kind of opportunity, but I did get to drive some for Travis Carter a few years back, and not very much success or anything like that with Travis, but really enjoyed my time that I got to do that, and gained a lot of respect for those guys and what they had to go through every week.
Over the years, Frank, what have you seen the differences in ARCA and NASCAR?
Well, the biggest thing is competition, and that comes back to money. And unfortunately, our sport is driven by money, as a lot are nowadays. But I think the biggest difference is the money. And it takes probably a million and a half to do a good ARCA team. That's something that's capable of winning the championship. We all know it's probably $15 million to be a competitive next up Cup team. So. The money's a big difference, and then when you have that kind of money that's been offered in the next Best Cup series, then competition's going to get better and better. And so every weekend you've got 40 cars out there that are vying for the win.
Well, there's been quite a few years where the competition's been more intense in the ARCA series than it has in NASCAR.
Well, I think you might say that certain areas of the year or the season or even certain parts of different races, but. The biggest difference in NASCAR is just that every weekend, you've got 10, 15 guys that can go out and have a very good shot of winning the race. And you just don't see that in any other division across the country, actually. The Roushes and the Hendricks and all these multi-car teams now, but any of the multi-car teams, as we've seen this weekend with Vickers winning the race, that's probably one of the, I guess, the C or D Hendrick team come through and win at Talladega. So it's just the competition over there is really, really tough.
What are your thoughts on that Vickers win?
I don't think he did it on purpose. I think he misjudged. I would have been much more impressed with his post-race if he just simply got out and said that I simply made a mistake and I wouldn't have hit him for nothing. And if that is the case, I wish he would have said that. And instead of trying to, you know, add on that, you know, he, you know, that Junior's went to throw a block and all this kind of stuff, I thought he was trying to make excuses. I'm not much of an excuse maker. If you make a mistake, own up to it and go on. You know, none of us are perfect.
Frank, let's go back to Talladega then for a minute. There was a whole bunch of rookies out there. Does that present a special set of challenges when you have that many rookies on a super speedway like that?
That's actually kind of been the way it's been happening here lately in the Rocky Series. We've got so many of these development drivers coming in now driving, you know, fantastic equipment that is, you know, becoming more and more difficult to win these races. And I've said many times that when these young kids come in driving this kind of race car, they're normally really, really good racers. So, or they wouldn't be in that kind of race car. So, I don't think it's a major problem. And when you do see problems and crashes or whatever in the Arca Series, a lot of times it's not the young kids causing it. It's some of those veterans that are struggling to do the best they can. So, I think a lot of times that these young kids come in and they're always thinking, well, they don't have very much experience, but these are really good racers and they do a great job.
Well, Frank, now, when you started racing, what kind of car did you start in? What class?
Oh, when I very first started, it was a bomber division. street stocks, you know, like my very first car that I actually drove, probably was a 67 Impala.
Where at?
Here at the Jeffersonville Sports Club, which still runs every weekend. They've been open since 1948. My dad raced there just about since they opened. So it's been around a long time, and that's exactly where I started off.
When you have a weekend off and you go back home and visit with people, do you go there to see the races or even maybe drive somebody else's?
Absolutely, I do. But me and my son and sometimes my daughter, we all take off and go to the Sports Club and it's always neat to go back and watch, and we still have a lot of people over there that we help, whether it's with advice or whatever, and so it's always nice to go back and see some of the guys that you're helping do well, and you know, it's nothing like a good Saturday night race. It's a lot of fun.
It's always a blast to be out there. It seems like you're really on top of the game, though, when it comes to the ARCA-type races and stuff. Is this win going to help boost even your short track, you know, situation, keep things a little bit more in perspective?
Well, I think that any time you can win, it helps your whole program for sure. And, you know, we at ARCA are always working very hard to work with the Ford Motor Company and try to get as much help as we possibly can. And so when we're able to get a win at a high profile race and beat some of the people that we're able to beat, that just shows the Ford people that we are doing pretty good at some of the things we're doing, and they come back and help us as much as they can, and at our level. So that's very important for us to have a good win like that.
You won the ARCA Championship 5 years in a row, and you won in 98. Anybody say, Frank's doing something different than everybody else?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure that you always hear, whenever no matter what track you go through, short tracks, big tracks or whatever, and you have a guy winning a lot of races, we've got traction control. That's the absolute number one thing.
Where's he hiding the car?
It's hard to keep hiding those things in different places, but, you get accused of all that kind of stuff, but for the most part, I think our biggest advantage has been my car owner, myself, and my brother Bill have been a unit for the last seven championships. And as long as you keep that core unit together and all the three of you know what the others expect, usually good things can happen, and it's all worked out very well for us.
Had to feel good getting over that hump winning that Talladega race, though.
Oh, that was big. I was pretty emotional after the race, which I haven't gotten that way in a long time, and but it was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders when we finally win someplace where you felt like you should have won before.
At any point in that race, did you actually let it creep into your mind, hey, I'm going to win this thing?
Actually, it hasn't gotten that really close to the end of the race. We didn't think it was going to end that quickly with with a large wreck there at the end that messed up the racetrack. So that kind of going along the darkness and stuff, so they thought it was better to stop it. But I really hadn't started thinking about the win. I did notice that I was able to keep the car near the front of the pack a lot. And, you know, you'll see that a lot in, you know, next stuff up or ARCA or trucks or whatever. When you, there's four or five cars that seem like they can stay in the four or five, you know, top four or five rows. And no matter how far I got shuffled back, I could get right back up near the top two or three rows pretty quickly. And I felt like I had a really good car, and then you just start worrying about who's going to help you and, you know, how you're going to get around the next guy. And my boss, you know, won that race for us. He got up on the outside with me, and I think it was probably three or four laps before the end of the race, I was probably 12th or 13th spot, and we moved up on the outside and started passing people, and it just, you got to have help, and he helped me out.
Yeah, Frank, you could say you moved to the front. I seen it on TV, right? I think you rocketed to the front.
I was as shocked as anybody. I'll be very honest. I know everybody thinks that's some crap, but I moved up to the outside there, and I passed a couple cars in normal fashion, you know, just, a lap or one a turn or something, and really was making gains, but not tremendous amount. And for some reason, the air just got right going down the backstretch a couple of laps in a row, and with Mike up right up on me, and I was passing four or five cars a straightaway, and it was pretty cool. I liked that.
Frank, what do you think has made the ARCA series so successful?
I think it's the diversity that we do. I think that people enjoy the fact that we do run the tracks like Salem and Winchester, the short, full-wing types. And then we go to a place like Springfield, Illinois, or DeKalb, Illinois, and run the mile dirt track. And then we're able to go and run the super speedways also. And there was still no other division, although it's getting very, very expensive, that a guy can take his son or whatever and spend some time and some money and go racing at the amount it costs that, for us to go racing at this level. The next three or four levels are very, very expensive.
Now, your father, Bill, won three times in the ARCA series. What was he driving?
That year that he won those three races, I think it was 78. It was the old Laguna and Chevelle style cars. And he wouldn't run the speed race. He got hurt really bad in the early 70s at Daytona and kind of made a pact with his mom and the higher-ups that he would stay away from those speed races because he knew that with his budget stuff, he was just really... taking a big chance going down to those racetracks. And we also had seven kids, so he had to kind of pay attention to that, too. And but in 78, he got hooked up with a gentleman by the name of Scott Parker from Prestonsburg, Kentucky, which is where my mom's from. And he had some really good equipment and went racing and won three races that year and did very well.
Anybody else in your family involved in racing besides you and your brother?
Bill's son, Will, and my son, Frankie, are both pretty involved with it now, and Frankie comes to the shop quite a bit during the summer, and is helping us around the shop, and actually building shocks and stuff for us now. His son's had to use the shotgun and that sort of thing, so he's doing really well, and he won the championship in his mini cups this year. He just turned 16, and I think that's his second or third championship, and he's done very well with that, and Will went up to Salem this year, and won Rookie of the Year and won a feature in the Super Late Model class, which is pretty awesome at race cars up there at Salem Speedway. They fly around that place. So they're both good kids, and we're just very fortunate. That's the main thing, is to take care of your children.
Long-range plan, Frank? How many more years think you can do it?
I don't even know. I've always said that when I feel like I can't bring something to the race car, I'm holding it back, and I'll know that, and I'll get out of the thing, because I feel very fortunate to have the career that I've had at this point, and we're dabbling other things already and trying to figure out what we want to do. One of the things coming up, which is kind of an interesting deal, on June the 2nd of next year, I'm kind of promoting a bomber enduro, a national bomber enduro race at the Kentucky Speedway on the mile-and-a-half racetrack. And I kind of came up with that idea because when I was starting racing, I thought that it would just be so cool to get to go to a racetrack like Kentucky Speedway and race, and never dreamt that I would have the opportunity or the money to do it. And I think with safety in mind and all the things you got to worry about this kind of stuff, I'm We're going to try to put on a race and let the boys run on the mile and a half racetrack.
That's an awesome idea.
When is this happening, Frank?
It's at June 2nd of next year. Coming up, and Kentucky and I are kind of doing a joint deal together, and they've been very good about it. And we're doing some testing right now with actually my son's car, trying to get the speed down where we feel like they're going to be safe, and we want the people to come out and have a great time and not have to worry about getting injured and that kind of thing. It would be great. We're going to start up to 300 cars in the race.
Let me see if I got this right now, Frank. We're talking bombers on a mile and a half Kentucky Speedway. Is that what I heard?
That's correct. That's
way cool. I love it.
For awesome.
For how long?
Awesome.
I love it. For how long?
It's going to be a 100-lap event. We're going to stop them at halfway so that the guys can put in fuel and under no penalty whatsoever and come in and just take their time, get the fuel in the cars. Don't worry about rushing. We don't want people spilling fuel and getting themselves hurt. We're really basing the rules on around safety, and we're going to try to slow the cars down so that they don't run very fast, run as fast as they could. And of course, the roll cages and the seats and the fuel cells are all going to have to be meet pretty stringent specifications. And
how fast will they go?
We're looking for a top speed of probably of around 120 mile an hour.
Bomber. Now, you said that you're working on there'll be stringent safety setups and so forth. Is there a place where people can get that information? Because I'll tell you, we're down here in Tampa, Florida.
You need to start promoting that now.
And there are 1,000 bombers I'm exaggerating a bit, but there's a ton of those cars down here. It's a big deal.
Yeah, but
we're talking about it is that there's so many of these guys that just don't have the budget to move up to the late models or move up to any kind of division that will have the opportunity to do this race. And, at Kentucky Speedway, I kind of brought the idea to them, and they're, of course, their number one concern is safety just as well as mine is. And, when we come up with the final set of rules, they'll be out, I'm going to say, within probably 3 weeks, and there'll be a mention on frankkimmel.com and also be a link to the kentuckyspeedway.com. And we'll be able to download the rules and download the entry forms. And we're going to make it fairly inexpensive to get to the racetrack. We don't want people to have to spend their whole paycheck to come to the race. We want them to come and have a great time. Go out and run 150 miles on a racetrack like Kentucky Speedway, and it's also going to pay $10,000 to win.
$10,000 to win. I was just getting ready to ask you what kind of purse you're looking at. $10,000 to win.
Yeah, we're actually only going to pay 25 spots, so we really don't know how it's going to go over, and so we're not trying to stick our neck out too far with the deal, but. You just never know how this is going to
be. So the information is going to be on frankkimmel.com, and then you'll have links to Kentucky Speedway?
That's correct, yes, sir. It'll be a couple of weeks away. I'm testing actually Wednesday of next week after our race at Iowa, and we're going to go and test the car one more time. And we've already been there once. It ran very well. There's no problems whatsoever. But we're trying to keep the RPMs down and again, keep the speed down. So we're going to make some more changes on it. We want to, again, make it as safe as we possibly can.
You have to have a good fuel cell.
On July the 3rd, the day after this thing, you are going to be a national hero.
June
3rd.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
You're going to be a national hero.
Because the guys can come.
Every track in the nation is going to want to send somebody.
I hope they do. And I think that until you get to do something like this, people can't explain it to you. And they have these ride-along programs and other things going on. And I thought, this is a better deal. This guy
absolutely.
Can
go out
there. Frank, this is awesome. Frank, we have I don't know if you know too much about us. Short Track America is associated with Karnak.com. And between the combination of websites, it's been around about 10 years. And, like last week's show, for instance, that we're doing here tonight, last week we had people from about 25 to 30 states listening around the country, and we don't focus on NASCAR. We focus on ARCA and the Pro Cup and on down, and really focus on the local level.
Right.
And So we will do anything we can to help you
get
this
word
out. Because this is right
up.
This is the
right up our alley.
This is right up our alley.
We are definitely going to stay in touch with you with this as it progresses on.
Well, we hope it works out, and we're trying to, again, we're going to have a, I think on Friday, we're going to have a pretty much an all-day tech day, and then come back on Saturday and have the majority of the day tech also. We're going to have people on ground that with welders and cutting equipment and tools and tubing that that can help if their seat doesn't make, you know, specifications. We don't want to send people home. We want them to come and go race and have a good time, but the number one thing we want to be safe, and I think that, you know, one of the things it's going to do is people are going to build cars once they hear about some of this stuff, and
build it up,
and it's going to make it a better deal for the local racers. The local racetracks are going to come back with more quality race cars in this level, and again, put on a better show for the people every weekend.
Yeah, because I can see people in Florida going, hey, this is going to be in June of 2007. Mom, we got to plan my trip there. How cool would it be to be in 2008 and go, hey, remember in 2007 we took that trip up to Kentucky Speedway and I was 17 years old and I ran 33rd in that 312 car field?
Yeah, I think it would be just amazing. And I know how excited I would be if I was at that level and wanting to do it. Matter of fact, if I wasn't doing it, I would probably have a car to be in it because I think it's, you know, this is what grassroots racing is all about. And we just want people to understand that, you know, it's a good time. Come out. And if you've not been to a place like Kentucky Speedway, what a beautiful racetrack it is. Come and bring your camper and camp out and have a great time and enjoy the races.
Hey, listen, anytime you're down this way, anytime during the year you're down in the Tampa Bay or Orlando area, you make sure you call us because we'd love to have you come and be here on a Tuesday night if you happen to be in the neighborhood.
That sounds great. I appreciate the offer, and my wife would come down there right now because she loves warm weather.
Hey, who's some of the sponsors on your race car, Frank?
Of course, we have the National Pork Board that's been with us for I think 7 years now, and it's just been a great sponsor of ours, and we picked up Mighty Easy, a powerful cleaner, a spray bottle cleaner that has come out, and they've been on for a couple races, so, and there's a host of other people, you know, Aero Wheels, and Holly, and Oils, and we just get a lot of C-Line Engineering, just a lot of people that's helped us throughout the years, and it's a pretty good thing to do if you do it right now.
Frank, it's been great talking to you. Great news on this bomber, man. Breaking news on this
bomber
race.
Bomber Bonanza 100.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
I think they're calling it. Now, this is not my idea, so don't think I'm being big-headed, but I think they're calling it the Frank Kimmel Bomber Enduro Nationals.
There you go.
Perfect. That's great.
It's going to be presented by, and we're hunting for a title sponsor for it now, and pretty excited about it. I hope it works out for everybody.
Well, we're going to be running our mouth about it.
Go to the National Used Auto Car Chain.
Absolutely wonderful having spending some time with you, Frank. Appreciate it a whole lot, and we'll definitely stay in touch with you, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot for having fun.
That was awesome.
All right, man.
That is awesome, man. Take care of yourself. Oh, man, how cool is that?
All right, national event. You heard it here first.
First.
Another first.
Another first. Real Racing USA.
9 months in advance.
You know something else about him?
American,
he is the first ever. Now, ARCA's been around for a long time. First ARCA driver to ever drive in the IROC.
Well, wow.
This year.
That's awesome.
We apologize to the fans who wanted to who tuned in to hear Stephen Wallace due to technical difficulties beyond our control. We could not make that happen. It was scheduled, set up, nailed down in blood, and somehow between
digital
one thing and another, things didn't happen. But
as soon as we hang up, right after the hour, he's in a different part of the country.
Well, maybe it is a different time zone. Yeah, he's in Missouri.
That's it. He's going to call.
It could happen.
Thanks for everybody listening. We got to talk about, man, we had some great people on tonight.
Oh, no doubt. We had Anthony Easton, Alan Bragg. Of course, we had the David Ruderman interview. Frank Kimmel, man.
That's
the
awesome.
Bomber 100. Michael Falk, great interview. Scotty McAllister, Scott Hawkins.
That's a guy who's on the ego. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people, because we look at the charts that show us these sorts of things, there's a lot of people who only caught part of our show. All of this show, all 2 hours, plus some other tidbits, will be available on demand later tonight on Short Track of One, AmericaOne.com.
And, you know, I want to just tell you guys something before we get off the air.
Sure. What's up?
Mark Cuban is one of my, he's a guy that I really follow. He's like, he's this guy.
Dallas Maverick.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur, big time dude.
Okay.
Okay. He was on this technical conference the other day, and I was watching it on TV. And it
made
was,
all his money in internet
broadcasting. Oh, the conference was on internet broadcasting and stuff. Okay.
Wow.
Internet stuff. So I'm listening. And he was talking about stuff that concerns us, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay, I know that. And then he started talking about when people listen. So all you folks that are listening to this now because you didn't catch us live, we know you're at work. It's okay. Your boss does it, too.
You can tune in anytime. You don't mind.
It's okay.
Buy a set of headphones. Hit the music, Bill. Another week of Real Racing USA here live from the Snook River Grill. Join us next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., and we'll be here only on Short Track American Networks.
All alone at the end of the evening, when the bright lights have faded to blue, I was thinking about the wonder that it led me. I never knew. You know, I've always been a dreamer. Spent my life running around, and it's so hard to change. Can't seem to settle down, but the dreams I've seen lately, they keep on turning out. To the limit, one more time. Now you can spend all your time making money. You can spend all your love making time. If it all fell to pieces tomorrow, you'd still be mine. When you're looking for your freedom, nobody seems to care, and you can't.